Ventnor City Planning Board Meeting, November 18th, 2025.
18th, 2025 meeting of the Ventnor City Planning Board is now in session. This meeting is being held according to due public notice thereof, pursuant to the New Jersey State Sunshine Law. Notice that this meeting was advertised in the press and the Current. A copy of same has been posted on the bulletin board in the municipal building. At this time, we'll rise and salute the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Will the Board Administrator please call the roll?
Mayor Kribel.
Here.
Commissioner Van Graaff.
Here.
Joe Ianazelli.
Here.
Jay Cook.
Here.
Lorraine Salata.
Here.
Dan Smith III.
Here.
Peter Tucco.
Here.
Tim Coop.
Here.
Greer Gaskell.
Here.
And Jessica Stilley.
Here.
Next is the adoption of the November 12th, 2025 minutes. Are there any changes or amendments to said minutes? Hearing none, may I have a motion and a second for adoption, please?
Motion.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it, the minutes are hereby adopted. There are three resolutions that need to be adopted this evening. They are P31 of 2025 of 1 South Lafayette, P32, 2025 of 714 North Barber Avenue, and P33, 25 of 106 North Dorset Avenue. Are there any changes or amendments to said resolutions?
Great.
May I have a motion and a second, please, for adoption?
Make the motion.
So those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it, the resolutions are hereby adopted this evening. On today's, this evening's agenda, there is one application of that of DAG Ventnor LLC, 6601 Ventnor Avenue. That is a continuation of the November 12th meeting. And, I'm sorry, October.
October.
Meeting. And this time, we're going to commence with that. First, though, our solicitor will explain to everyone what a continuation is.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. I did not attend last meeting, and I did not get a chance to listen to the transcript, so I'm going to recuse myself.
Okay, I'll let the record, you're going to separate yourself from the board.
Yeah.
Let the record reflect that Peter Tucco.
I also have to step down.
Okay.
Okay.
Let the record reflect that Dan Smith and Peter Tucco are recusing themselves and physically separating themselves from the board and will not participate in the hearing. At this time, Leo, could you explain to everyone what a continuation is?
Yeah, sure. Just briefly, I believe, other than Greer Gaskell, everyone else was here at our October meeting. And Greer, you have listened to the tape, correct?
Yes.
So you can participate in the continuation. Do you have any objection to that, Mr. Plaeter?
Not at all.
Okay. I just wanted to put that on the record. So, yeah, we were here in the late October, was it the 25th off the top of my head, whatever that Monday was. And this is a continuation of that hearing. There's been, I guess, a minor modification to plan. The applicant, I'm sure, is going to go over that. We did open it to the public last time. About seven or eight people spoke. We did close the public portion. However, we will reopen the public. But if you already spoke, we're not going to say you can't speak. But everything that happened in October is part of the record, is part of this hearing. It is a continuation. So I just wanted to, hopefully, we won't be too repetitive. If you already spoke, we do know what you said, and it is part of the record. So I'm not going to say anyone can't speak, but I just wanted to kind of preface it with that.
Okay. At this time, Mr. Plaeter, you have your witnesses to be sworn.
I
And anybody else who want to participate in the hearing, have them sworn, please.
Why don't you just give us your name and business address for the record? I'll swear the two of you in together, please.
Sure, David Waxman, 12 South Cambridge Avenue, Ventnor.
John Barnhart, office address 400 North Dover Avenue, Atlantic City. Licensed professional engineer, licensed professional planner, certified municipal engineer in the state of New Jersey.
Okay. Each, please raise your right hand. Each swear affirm the testimony you'll give this evening will be the truth.
I do.
Okay. Mr. Waxman is a principal of the applicant. John Barnhart's an engineer and planner. His credentials were accepted by the board at the first hearing.
Yes, the credentials are continuing to be acceptable.
And I'll give Mr. McLaren, who's sworn in, too. Mr. McLaren, please raise your right hand. You swear affirm any testimony you'll give this evening will be the truth.
I do.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Blackton, the floor is yours.
Yes, good evening. May it please the board, Jack Plactor from the law firm of Fox Rothschild, appearing for the applicant, DAJ LLC. First of all, I'd like to thank the board professionals, the mayor, commissioners, for doing this continued hearing for us. We really appreciate it. I know you're not getting paid to be here, so we really appreciate your scheduling the hearing. We also certainly welcome the public to listen to our presentation. I want to go over briefly where we were and what we're going to present tonight. So, based upon the comments...
One second. Can everybody hear?
No.
No? Okay, you have to come bring the mic closer, Jack.
Or speak a little louder.
How about the hand mic? Is that on?
It should be the same.
Is this better? This one's not even working. Is this better? Okay. So, as a result of the comments of some of the board members and the public, we went back and we attempted to revise our plans to make them more acceptable to the board and show that we were willing to compromise. So what we did was, and Mr. Barnhart will describe it, and we'll show it graphically to the board members and the public. But essentially what we did is, there was an open area behind the building and in between some of the townhouse clusters. We removed that, and we also removed the unit. That enabled us to compress the townhouses, have more open space on the street ends of New Haven and Troy Avenue. And the second issue was that the end elevations, the front of New Haven and Troy Avenue, were very bland. They had one or two windows and nothing else. And the board asked us, could we make it look more like a front elevation or just not as bland? So those are the only two major changes that we made, which Mr. Barnhart will describe. But to go over what happened was that we just want to emphasize to this board and the public that this project requires no variances at all, no waivers. We complied with all of the bulk requirements, density, setbacks, height, parking, and so forth, and we're in total conformance with the redevelopment plan. In addition, we presented a traffic engineer, Mr. Shropshire, who indicated that this development, compared to the existing development, would have negligible impact on the surrounding areas and on traffic. And I just want to emphasize, and certainly don't listen to what I say, but your board solicitor will tell you, when you have a permitted use, off-site traffic concerns really are not a reason to adversely act upon a project. It's a permitted use. However, if we did have an impact on adjacent highways or roads, we might be asked to do some traffic improvements. We also presented evidence that with respect to drainage, because we're decreasing the amount of impervious surface over what is there now, we'll be able to meet all of Ventnor's and DEP stormwater management requirements. The applicant also will be able to comply with and has demonstrated that it complies with lighting, utilities, landscaping, and so forth, subject, of course, to Mr. McLaren's report, and we have agreed to comply with all the conditions. So really, this is a really, will be a short presentation on our behalf, just showing the changes. And we believe that the developer, based upon everything he's produced, is entitled to preliminary and final site plan approval for what we call a byway project. So with that introduction, I'd like to just call Mr. Barnhart. You were previously sworn, and you were qualified as an expert, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Would you briefly, using the boards, describe the changes between the project that we proposed last year and this one?
Sure. So I'm going to be speaking from the site development plan that was submitted after the last hearing, in advance of this hearing, so board members should have this plan at your fingertips. This is a modification to the site plan we presented at the last hearing. I'm going to go through the site plan modifications, and then I'll discuss the architectural modifications that came out of the comments from the hearing from a month ago. So, as everyone's familiar, the initial application was for 34 residential units, and those 34 residential units were made up of five different buildings in the general configuration that you see here. What we did is to try to create a little bit of additional open space to try to reduce the massing on the surrounding streets, most particularly Troy Avenue and New Haven Avenue, is we did basically three things. We eliminated one unit on Winchester Avenue, which allowed us to reposition that building. We moved it away from the firehouse a little bit. And we were also able to get a front yard setback on Troy Avenue of over 16 feet, where if you look at the original application plan, that setback to Troy Avenue from the end unit was actually 4 feet. So we've opened up that corner quite a bit, and that opening up of that corner will be entirely landscaped. It'll be lawn, it'll be trees, it'll be shrubbery. So we believe a dramatic difference at the intersection of Winchester and Troy Avenues. What we also did, moving further into the site, is that we eliminated, or I should say, relocated one of the units that was along what I'm going to call the northerly row of buildings, and moved that to the southerly row of buildings to create equal building counts. And if you recall, we had a small interior park. The some board members felt it was nice, but it really wasn't providing any value to the surrounding neighborhoods, and it really wasn't creating any real appearance of additional open space. So we eliminated that pocket park, we moved those buildings together, and again, for both Troy Avenues and New Hampshire Avenues, we were able to take what were 4 foot front yard setbacks to all four of those buildings on those four streets. And tear those front yard setbacks into 10.25 foot front yard setbacks. I want to point out that the dimensions I'm telling you, the 16 and the 10, they are to the property line. So the actual distance from the back of sidewalk, as it actually would perceive the building to be, is an additional 2 feet. So you're pushing 20 feet from the back of sidewalk for the corner buildings, and you're in the range of 16 feet, just under 15 feet, from the back sidewalk to the other four buildings. So what that's doing is it's going to create a lot more greenery as a pedestrian or motorist to come along Troy Avenue and New Haven Avenue. It's going to allow for a lot more landscape, both low, meaning lawn and shrubs, but also vertical landscaping up against the buildings to, we believe, create a much more pleasant atmosphere and openness along both of those streets. The other item that we addressed as a result of some board comments was with regard to the architecture, specifically of the end units. There was a lot of conversation last time about the way appearance of the end units. Essentially, it's three buildings that front Troy and two buildings that front New Haven Avenue. A total of five units were really units that were in question. And some of the things that were done, if you recall, there were very few windows in the end units to begin with. So windows were added. The brick that we discussed, there was a low brick facade along the entire building. It came up just a couple of feet and wrapped around the building. That was now taken on the end units all the way up through the first floor, and that brick now has a water table at the first floor elevation to really break up the appearance of those end units.
And then the other thing that was done is, if you recall, there was a privacy wall on these entities. That privacy wall was eliminated, and the railing was wrapped completely around that front or that top level deck to create more openness at that upper level. What you can also see in the foreground here is the larger front yard that I was just talking about. You can see some larger trees between the windows, some low shrubbery in front of that, and then some lawn area in front of that. So again, creating a lot more openness along both of those street frontages. So those are the two key items that have been modified since the last hearing. The position of the building that I just discussed, which did slightly reduce the overall site coverage even further, and then the modification to the architectural plans that I just went through.
Just a couple of follow-up questions. First of all, in my introduction, I indicated that there were no variances or other relief requested. Do you agree with that testimony or that statement?
That is correct. We have provided all that testimony during the first hearing, and none of the modifications that we have made have triggered any variances or design waivers.
Okay, thank you. Also, have you had occasion to look at Mr. McLaren's professional report?
Yes, we have.
And are we willing to comply with all the conditions that he's requested?
Yes, we will. Mr. McLaren issued a slight revision to his report this week, which most specifically deals with what we just described, as well as the sewer and water requirements for this project. We were fortunate enough to be able to meet with the sewer and water folks, both the sewer and water engineer and the public works director this last week. Went over their requirements, and we will continue to work with them to comply with their requirements as indicated in our planner's report.
Okay. Now, with respect to the site plan elements, the stormwater management, is it your testimony, as you testified last time, that this project is compliant with the City of Ventnor stormwater management requirements and the DEP stormwater management requirements?
That is correct. I provided all that testimony last time, and again, these revisions do not modify that. In fact, the impervious coverage has actually been reduced with this application.
So the drainage will not adversely affect any of the surrounding properties, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you. Now, with respect to landscaping and lighting, do we meet those requirements as well?
Yes, we do.
And how about utilities? Do we have adequate utilities to serve the property?
Yes, we do. Okay.
And then finally, site access, is it safe for both regular vehicles and emergency vehicles?
Yes, it is. As we described the site access in great detail at the last meeting, and there have been no changes to that since the last meeting.
And then finally, based upon your testimony and the facts, have you formed an opinion with a reasonable degree of both planning and engineering certainty whether the applicant would be entitled to preliminary and final site plan approval?
Yes, we believe that we have met all those standards. The project is in complete compliance with the redevelopment plan for the site, as well as all the design standards within the Ventnor Municipal Ordinance.
Thank you. I have no further questions.
Yeah, I just want to ask a question.
Yes.
In your presentation, you mentioned, and I see it on the plans here, you eliminated the park, and that it was in the very center.
The interior park, that's correct.
Yeah, and you seem to minimize the fact that that was an important factor, where the board did feel that that was an important factor. But it, with your new plan, it doesn't exist. And I think that really spoke to more open space, because that's been the concern all along. We're putting so much on the site that we're kind of begging you for more open space, and it's been eliminated now. So that doesn't please me, and I'm guessing it doesn't please anybody else.
So I wouldn't say that it's been eliminated. It's been reallocated around the site. So we now have more open space in front of five buildings, where prior we had one open space that was for the benefit of these units, but not for the benefit of the surrounding.
Well, you reallocated it, but the effect of it, I think, I would say it's gone of that particular open space, because it was, I thought it was a nice element of the plan.
Understood.
The streetscapes themselves that are improved, in your opinion, both on Troy Avenue and New Haven Avenue, correct?
That's correct.
And you did reduce by one unit the site.
That's correct.
And you relocated some buildings in here.
That's correct.
Now, your parking remains the same, correct?
There has been no change in the parking.
No changes, okay. So there's no other changes in the site other than those specific changes which the board report, which the board discussed with you and asked for?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Can I ask a question? How much parking for the commercial space and how much street parking is left in the site?
So I provided all those numbers in prior, and I'll give you one more just to, So as far as the parking that will remain as a result of this project on the street, there will be 25 spaces on Troy Avenue, 18 spaces on Hampshire Avenue, and as I had described before, Winchester Avenue spaces are proposed to be eliminated. The units themselves each have 3 parking spaces per unit, so 33 units. So the units themselves have 99 parking spaces to go along with them. And then the commercial building has 2 parking fields, one off of New Haven Avenue, one off of Troy Avenue. The Troy Avenue facility is 12 spaces, and the New Haven Avenue is 15 spaces, so that's a total of 27 dedicated commercial spaces on site. Did that answer your question?
Yes. Board members, any other questions?
Yeah, I had a question for stormwater.
Sure.
What was your intent for managing stormwater? Were you intending to put a subsurface recharge system in?
We are not. So subsurface recharge systems on Barrier Island communities are very difficult. They don't generally work well. They don't last long. There are three standards within the DEP stormwater rules that have to be addressed. Quantity, quality, and recharge. Based on the reduction in motor vehicle surface on this site, coupled with the reduction in overall impervious coverage, coupled with the fact that we are not reducing pipe concentration of stormwater leaving the site, we meet all of the standards without having to actually develop on-site systems.
I mean, I think normally even a lot of our residential projects, we do usually request that they put the recharge systems in.
Sure.
So,
whatever, yeah.
Yeah, with the roof drains tied into it, and is that kind of like a bubbler system?
So, I mean, I've got many residential projects in the city of Ventnor. It's rarely put stormwater systems in.
If they're asking for relief from pervious coverage is when we ask them to put that in.
Right. Agreed.
Right. And in this case, the pervious coverage is increasing, right? We're going from concrete.
Decreasing.
The impervious is decreasing.
Reversal.
What percentage was your lot coverage?
Bear with me 1 second. So as part of the original plan, we were at 74%, probably going down about a percent, so we're about 73% right now.
Is that including the right-of-way?
Yes.
So if you were to subtract out that right-of-way down the middle of it, you know what that would be? Because I don't think coverage should include the right-of-way.
It may not be. Have you decided if you're doing that as a right-of-way, or have you decided that yet?
It's a proposal to be a dedicated public right-of-way, yes.
Okay. I know there was discussion you're going to handle it a different way at one point, but I forgot where we ended up with that.
No. Is the right-of-way going to be a dedicated right-of-way? That should be decided, or is that up to commission?
Well, no, it's a redevelopment plan.
It's what?
It's a redevelopment plan that the city would maintain.
Yeah. Okay, so if the city would be maintaining it, does it become a city right-of-way?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, so the answer is... Mr. Blackton, would you concur that the right-of-way would become a city right-of-way and be dedicated?
That was the intent under the redevelopment plan, yes.
Okay, is that your intent?
Yes.
Okay, so that's how the application is framed, and that's a verification of that.
Yes.
And to further discussion that is, we had concerns that now we're creating two blocks versus one. It can still remain as one block, and it'd be, you know, it's a 32-foot right-of-way. It's basically an alley, so that one block can still maintain the entire site. So your lot numbers will be confirmed with the tax assessor, but it'll still remain as one block, one tax block.
Okay.
Okay.
So getting back to the drains, would it be possible to do something where we could collect the roof drains from these structures and put that into something that would drain to the street, but in a bubble-up system, where we would just run it behind the structures, and then it would come up, and then eventually get to the street and the rest of our system? We do have drainage issues coming from this site towards the vet. Everything, as John, you know, runs from basically Atlantic Avenue back. And New Haven is one of our troubles on the corridors to get that water back. So if we can slow that down getting there by recharging some of it, that might be helpful to that area.
So, of course, if anything's possible, I mean, I have this kind of stuff with our client. Right.
Well, I know he's here, so.
Why don't you, we'd like to resolve this. So if you need a minute, you can discuss it.
Yeah, I also wanted to raise, and I do appreciate you guys agreeing to reduce the number of units. I think that does make a big difference. I think the intent of that was to move it from, I guess, to increase that setback, or yeah, reduce the setback, either way, to give yourself more room to create more of a front facade along Troy and New Haven. And I know I've requested more modulation in the form of projection bays, porches, and I specifically said I wasn't really looking to just see a roof protection. I wanted to see some visual interest along Troy and New Haven, because these are two of the most unique streets, and I think all of Vetner, being that they're two directional because of the width of it. And I see that, I guess, nothing really in terms of modulation was really done. And I don't know, is there anything more that could be done to give it that visual interest? Because when I look at that rendering, I think it still views as a sign.
So again, I would have to discuss that with our client.
And then also the roof pitch. I don't know, did anyone, because I think in the previous meeting I had asked, and I know that would probably bring up the height over, would that be a variance? I know this is the redevelopment zone. It's part of the redevelopment plan, but even bringing it up to 5 to 12, that's usually required, and that usually requires a variance in the other residential areas. So I think just to kind of remain consistent, I would like to see, I think, at least a 5 to 12 minimum roof pitch.
What's the pitch now? Four. What's the pitch now, Jessica?
It's 4 to 12.
4 to 12.
And that would be a little more consistent, I think, with the surrounding structures, as that is typically our requirement if it weren't in this redevelopment plan.
What would a 5 to 12 do to the property? Would it trigger?
It might bring you up a little bit. Does that trigger a height variance? Again, I don't think if there is a height variance in that redevelopment plan, it's still, compared to this professional campus, it's, I mean, this thing's at 46.
Wait a minute, hold on. Would a 5 to 12 trigger a variance?
I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure. I
think I can answer that question. The current plan is at the maximum height, so if the roof pitch is increased, it would trigger a deviation from the redevelopment.
And that on that height, 5 to 12, roughly how much deviation would it be? Would it increase? What's the
About a foot and a half?
Yeah, like a foot.
Yeah.
But it's only
when I look at the height of the professional campus, I think that's really insignificant.
But that's only at the very top quarter of the, just a small portion of the roof. Is would only increases that far, and does the board have any opinion on this?
I honestly don't know that we're going to, from a, it's going, right now it's 4.25 over 12. I don't know, from the naked eye, we're going to be able to tell three-quarters of a foot pitch, you know, roof. It's going to raise it a foot at the top, I mean.
Yeah, I guess it's minor.
It's.
Like six to 12.
I made the argument, asking for a roof with a height variance at 1 foot, you're not going to be able to tell from the street, so I don't put, I can't necessarily say that you can see it now, so, I don't know.
We needed six to 12, I think.
Yeah, right.
Visually, but, I mean, five to 12 is the minimum.
The real issue is here, is between the, it's not even a full foot, a full inch you're asking for in pitch. And if you try and do that, Jessica.
Yeah.
I don't think you could probably discern physically that there's a great benefit to it, in here. And I don't want to, and, you know, we have a by right plan, and I want to induce things that are not necessary at the 11th hour and make a request. I don't think it's, appropriate at this point. So, my opinion is, I don't think anybody would notice the difference if it was put in there, because it's so small. Mr. Barnhart, do you have an opinion, or does your app?
On a building that, you know, from grade is, you know, pushing 40 feet high, you're not going to be able to tell what would be the difference in the overall, in a positive or negative way.
Right, so, I think at this point, if we just leave the plans stay the way they are. That would be the appropriate thing to do.
I have one question, and I'm not sure if it's to the applicant or to Leo. Part of tonight is also a subdivision. Is that subdividing the, what will be the commercial portion from what will be the residential portion?
So that's a part of it, yes. And then the other part of it is, so there's a property line that will be, it will run from Troy Avenue to Union Avenue, subdivide off, so the commercial building and those are commercial lots will sit on one parcel. And then each of the individual units will be subdivided so that they are all equally owned, so it will not be a condominium form of ownership, it will just be simple attached ownership.
So I guess part of my question, and it kind of goes to the overall learning of this whole process, is when we were looking at the density was calculated on the entire property, which is a little more than 2 acres. And that's, then we have that metric of 20 units per acre, correct? But it's concentrated on the back portion.
Correct.
So I guess my question is on the front portion, which is going to be subdivided. Is there any way of restricting future development so that it doesn't have its own density of 20 units per acre at some point down the road? Since the back portion is essentially using some of that density?
So I understand your concern correctly. Your concern is that in the future that this building get demolished and become more houses, is that?
Correct, and we put another 25 up here.
I mean, this project that I put forward here with this building is all part of an adopted redevelopment plan that went through multiple meetings and votes. In order to do what you just described, and tear that building down, we would have to amend that redevelopment plan. So the city would have full control over what would take place in that regard. Does that answer your question?
I suppose it does. I mean, I know we're essentially, you know, what the decisions are made kind of live with the land. And so, yeah, so that would be my concern, is if 40 was supposed to be on this whole piece, and if something happens to the commercial piece, and 20 get put on here, we'd now be up to 56, instead of 40. And I just was trying to figure out, is there a way of limiting that? And if what I'm hearing, you know, Leo confirms, that can't happen, versus you need some language in this, that the subdivision limits any future use of this commercial portion, so that some total doesn't exceed.
Marty, one second, please.
Tim, real quick, that plan can't be deviated from without approval from the governing body. That is the plan.
So even in the future, if the building gets struck by lightning and burns down, then what happens?
They rebuild that building. They rebuild the building.
Does the plan require this building to stay?
It's part of the redevelopment.
It requires it instead, yes. Okay, but if something were to happen, it burns down, they can't come back and say, we have this big tract of land, let's put up 20.
If they want to change the use and the size and type of that building, that particular building, they'd have to go back to the governing body for a redevelopment plan. You gotta come back here, then back to the governing body, then back here again.
So I wasn't sure who was the question, sure, I just wanted to make sure that future development couldn't happen without interacting.
It's highly restrictive.
So what I'm understanding is the assurances that you're looking for are baked into this process.
The way the development plan is done.
Right, exactly.
All right, thank you.
It just doesn't happen routinely, there's a lot of protection involved.
I want to, can I just circle back to Ray's question about, so that I understand how that process took place? When the park was removed, the intent was to cluster the buildings closer to each other so that the setbacks on the outer portion, correct me if I'm wrong.
That's correct.
And that was something that came out of our discussion, right? I'm trying to just circle back to the way that park was removed. It was because of the overall impact, visual impact and massing, reducing that from the street.
That is correct, and that's why I used the word reallocated. We did not eliminate any open space, we actually improved upon the open space by eliminating one unit, and then we reallocated the open space to the perimeter of the site to give it a more open appearance to the neighborhood.
It's a better streetscape, John.
That's my opinion, it is, yes.
That's what you were trying to create, an enlarged factor to the area and a better streetscape.
I think my intent too, initially requesting that, was to allow you to provide the ability to provide modulation on that side, so you didn't just have that side facade that we have right now. So by increasing that setback, we would have room. You could put a porch, you could put, what, an 8-foot deep porch even, and still meet the 4-foot setback.
So Jessica and I are just chit-chatting here a little bit. On that, above the garage, so not the garage level, but the first floor, I guess you guys are second floor. You have a family room, and then you have, in the back, you have a dining room. Middle is the kitchen, so you really couldn't do it there. But if you took those windows out, put a door there, you could do a 6-foot porch or deck coming out towards all these street end units. I checked where the floor joists are running, they're running that way. So you can just cantilever them right out. And that would add depth to that facade. I wouldn't do it, honestly, on the third floor. I wouldn't do it up any higher than that first or the second floor, really, above the garage. That's what I would think. It just changes that whole facade and brings it more to a streetscape up than a straight wall going up 35 feet. Just a thought. And because I know some of the board members have concerns about that facade, and I think it brings that height down by putting that deck there and gives those end units a little bit of outdoor space. I don't think it's a huge cost to do a deck like that, because you can just run those joists right out of the building. Again, a question for David, not John.
Commissioner, how many units are there? Five units?
It would be five units. And it could still meet the front yard setback of 4 feet in the redevelopment plan.
If I have one layer of the deck, you're still not impacting the impervious coverage.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you did a covered deck, you can get that visual interest of the roof over it, provide a little depth. Yeah.
Jack, do you have a comment on that? You and your client have a comment on that?
I mean, if you have a three person, it's
a
depth
over
it.
We don't know
that.
The answer is we wanted to convene for like 2 minutes to talk about it, but sure. They're all good comments.
Okay.
We're still on the record. What?
They asked for 2 minutes to go talk.
Yes, we should recess it. No, we should, if they're leaving the room, we should.
They're leaving the room, we're off the record. We are off the record.
Yeah, we just.
We're back on the record. We're back on the record, the meeting is now and back in session.
Thank you for giving us the opportunity to try to discuss it. We will add a balcony on each of the end units, and, you know, put a doorway in.
Right.
Excuse me. Sorry, the exact location, we're gonna have to work with the architects, but we'll make it work.
Do we have to, I'm sorry, could you repeat it, please?
Yes, in speaking with the clients, we're willing to add a balcony on each of those end units, so 5 units, and a doorway for access. The exact location, we're gonna have to work with our architect a little bit, but we'll be willing to do that, and that will definitely make it look a little bit more like a front unit.
I agree.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sure.
And it's a wonderful wide street, and you're enhancing it. And thank you. This is, I know it's a late hour. We hate to do these things to you like this, but that's the case. All right, now, are you complete, Jack?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
I would like to ask a question.
Well, you may ask a question.
With as many conversations and discussions as we've had, and there's been a lot of them, the one thing I don't really recall discussing at length is the impact that this project will have with the fire station right there. And I mean, that's an important element. I think it deserves a conversation. And I wanted to ask Joe, he's our representative from the fire department, his feelings on it and how that will impact it. I pass there every morning and the trucks are out there and they're doing drills. So I'm thinking, how does that mesh together?
That's a question for me.
Yeah.
I mean, it remains to be seen. We do use the outside area. We are losing 3 parking spaces, which I'm not happy about. I know.
Joe,
yes.
Get closer to your mic, please.
The impact remains to be seen, obviously. We do have our cars. We're losing 3 parking spaces ourselves as fire department vehicles. We can work around that. It's not a big deal. We do use the surrounding area for drills. It won't be affected. I mean, it is what it is, right? We're going to have more people there, more cars there, more kids there, which is a concern in the summertime. So, yeah, it is a concern. How much it will be affected, again, it remains to be seen.
The reason I ask is just this morning, it was yesterday morning, I was on Winchester and I was turning up New Haven, and I couldn't because the trucks were all out there and the cones are out there, and I'm thinking, how is this all going to work? Right. You know, you don't want to create a problem.
Right.
By the same token, if there's something you can do to eliminate it, but it needs a conversation.
Lorraine?
Right, I don't know if it...
Can I answer your question? The firehouse has existed since 1915.
Yeah.
It was approved in 1912. And funded and then built. It has existed, it has evolved, it has served this city extremely well for a period of 100 years. I think it'll withstand its development and the community for another 100 years.
Be that as it may, it hasn't had 33 new homes.
There was a school there, there were other things. The community will evolve. And people will adapt and go through.
There's something we can do to be proactive to make it have better flow.
I think that's through the commission and the fire department, and the professionals will do a great job in doing that. And the planning board is not that. We're not going to tell them what to do. Because we don't know.
They did provide a thorough traffic study.
Jay, you were at that meeting when that firehouse was approved, right?
As a matter of fact, I was there, yes. Yes, I did.
I have to buzz the travel.
But, you know, hey, it was a short meeting, though. I was younger then. Okay. Moving on. Mr. Flachter, you have read all the reports from
our planner?
Yes, sir.
I know it could grill with all the reports and everything.
We indicated in our testimony that we would comply with each and every condition in Mr. McLaren's report.
You saw the new reports on the storm, on the water connections and so on?
Right.
Okay. And that's, everything is complete?
Yes, sir.
Okay. That is the case. Do you have anything further to add, Roger?
I do not at this time.
Do you have anything further?
Not at this time.
At this point in time, I'm going to open up to the public. Oh, wait a minute. Board members, are there any questions or comments from the board members?
One quick question. The electrical power lines in this development, are they underground or are they above ground?
They will be underground.
So there'll be no visible power lines in the area?
There'll be no new utility poles within our project.
Right, okay. And I guess that's it. That's all I have.
Now, the public portion is now open, and when you make comment, the comments will be made. Please keep them to this project only and not other aspects. We'll bring you back to point. And that's the case.
All right, Mr. Kreischer, just name and address, please, after the story.
Tim Kreischer of Ventnor City, New Jersey.
Please raise your right hand. You swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Okay, thank you.
So to start off, Chairman, I want to thank you for asking the professional to speak into the microphone so we can all hear. I mentioned that the other night, right. So thank you. And just remind the board if you could do so. Because sometimes when you're sitting back...
Hearing is an issue, and we want everybody to be able to hear. Yeah.
So thank you. So my first question is, if this project doesn't require any variances, then why are we here?
Site plan and site plan approval.
And subdivision.
And subdivision.
All right, thank you. So I want to thank the members of the board and the applicant. This process has evolved, and I think this is a better project, although some people may not... to the people's satisfaction, but there has been several modifications provided by your input and the public's input. So I want to thank the board for your due diligence in addressing this area, because I think everybody recognizes this is an important project, being in the center of town, in the center of our business district, and we all want it to be a wow moment. I do have some suggestions and questions I'd like to present. First, I'd like to clarify. The report originally said the former Ventnor Avenue School building will undergo an analysis to determine the feasibility for its redevelopment and improvement. In addition to commercial uses, this building may potentially be suited for new residential units. So since that was in the original plan, that they could do an analysis to support residential, it was said tonight.
It was not in the redevelopment plan, Tim.
I'm sorry?
It was not in the redevelopment plan. It was prior to that.
Okay, so it's not in the final plan.
It's not in the final plan. It's not in the redevelopment ordinance. That was in hearings prior to.
Okay, thank you. That was a concern, so thank you for clearing that up. It also says the building may also include this first level expansion of commercial uses to bring those uses closer to Ventnor Avenue, including new opportunities for a variety of uses with cafes and alfresco dining. So I still have some, I expressed some concern about this before, and I express them again tonight. If there was any conversation with the business community on how, if these additional restaurant capacity would have a negative impact on the current businesses, that restaurants that have been existing in the city and, you know, struggling somewhat during the winter months. I believe the marketplace should dictate those type of things, but in this particular case, government has taken action to allow this resident or commercial restaurants in this space. So I just wonder if there's any, I asked before, and I believe the answer was no, and just if there was any follow-up conversation with the business community about this area supporting additional restaurants.
Well, first of all, the property owner has the right to use their property as according to the rules and regulations of the city.
So that part of the redevelopment ordinance that they would do analysis has been taken out of the redevelopment ordinance?
I don't know about the analysis. I'm not sure where you're reading from.
The report that was drafted by Rutella.
Well, Rutella was a... I'll have to defer to one of the commissioners on that in there. Landscape.
So there was public meetings on the redevelopment plan?
Right.
From the start. I think the applicant actually went out and notified all the folks in the 200 feet and had a meeting before we had approved the redevelopment plan.
Right.
So that included businesses, that included other restaurant owners. So this plan's been in works for 3 years now.
Right.
So we've heard you're the first person to raise adding another business to the town is a bad thing.
I did raise it at a previous meeting.
And actually, you're the first person who's raised that adding a new business to the town is a bad thing.
Well, again, I'm not against businesses, but the restaurant component of it.
Any business will find its own competitive place. If they don't think it's good for a restaurant, that restaurant's not going to come here. So, you know, it's an opportunity. We want to keep that building in the front occupied, and it's a commercial use. So in the redevelopment plan, we created the opportunity for many uses in it, not just restaurants, not just office space, but I know there's some new doctor's offices moving in there. The hope is to do a restaurant on one of those first floor spaces where they can do an outdoor dining cafe onto that grass lawn that's out front. The renderings they had up before showed some of that. So we're hopeful that things take off there. Granted, we are a, 93 day? That takes you back to my MMR days in Philly. 93 days of summer, sorry. That's about what we have. Our businesses have, you're well aware, we have 3 months for these folks. In the summertime, all our restaurants are busy. So,
and that's why I expressed my concern about having restaurants in the original plan. I don't know if it's still there. If the applicant wants to put a restaurant in, will they have to come back to the board for any approvals or
just mercantile licenses and building?
And again, that's my concern because you're putting restaurants in.
Tim, a property owner, any property owner in the city, if it's properly zoned and it's there, has the right to use their property in the way they see fit.
So my only concern was in the original plan. If you're telling me it's not there, it's not an issue. So they can put it's zoned for restaurant. It's currently zoned for restaurant
use. Currently zoned that a restaurant can go there.
Okay.
And that's it.
I'd rather it stay professional.
Go there. It's if somebody has the desire to do it, they have the right to do it.
Okay. If you tell me they have the right now, it's not a result of this study or this plan or this project, then I don't have an argument. And you know, they have the right to do it. They have the right to do it.
That's correct.
I just didn't want, the way I read it was created by the original plan by Rutella with what I just read. But if you tell me they have the right to do it, that's fine. The original plan said the remaining portions of the property away from Ventnor Avenue are better suited for residential uses. And Commissioner Landgraf, I want to thank you for responding to my email about, you know, using it as a public safety building. And you said that the city put significant investment into the city hall and that didn't own the property, it'd be costly to buy it. So I want to thank you for responding to that email. But did the board of the city look at any other uses, such as senior housing, a mid-rise, anything, or did we just look at townhouses from the get-go?
So the developer approached the city, the owner of the property approached the city. I'll answer the question, I guess. They approached the city with a proposal for townhomes. I don't know that I would support multi-family density to the tune of a high-rise or mid-rise in there. That's even more intense than what's being proposed now. This was a blended use site from the beginning, from what was proposed to us. We talked to Jim Rutella, our planner. They came together with a redevelopment plan that they brought to the city as a proposal. This is what they proposed. It was more intense than this. This started out, I think, at 38 units, 38 or 40 originally.
36 was the original, in the original study.
Before, even in the original redevelopment plan that was proposed, that was drafted, it was 38 or 40.
It was more, yeah, so over 40.
We kind of pushed that down a little bit, and then we, for this time, we're down to 33, so.
The city hired Rutella, or the planning board hired Rutella.
That's correct, he's our planning board.
So you could have had some input into the study about what you were looking for.
So yes, we certainly could have, yeah.
Okay. Tim, get to your point in here.
Hi, guys.
Jay, I'm just asking if anything else was considered. I don't think it's a difficult question to ask the board that's going to vote on a project that's going to have such an impact on the future of Ventnor, that if you considered anything else.
I'm just trying to get to this point
I told you what the point was. There's no hidden agenda, it was a point, what did you consider anything else?
Fine, but what's approved is approved, and we can't change it. It's there, it's written, and that's it. So, I'm trying to just find out what you're, so we can help you and communicate.
You're answering the questions as I present them. If you can answer the questions, you know, that I have down on the third page, you're in the wrong business, you ought to be on stage somewhere predicting, or in the stock market, predicting the market. You know, you're answering the questions, I appreciate the time you're giving me in addressing my concerns and my questions. Hey, I lost my place. So, the people that I've talked to have expressed great concern about the density and the number of units. I had asked the board before in the city if you did any type of analysis. I mean, everybody wants to be fair to the applicant. They bought the property, they invested, they've done a great job in trying to market it and put professional space in there. But did anybody look at the finances that they paid, I think, $4 million for the building, or for the property? Add in the soft cost, add in the engineering fees, those type of things, and land development. The sales price, I think they said about $800,000 at 33 units would be about $24 million. Exactly, even with the talent on the board and your professionals, I'm sure you can come up with what the profit is on this. Are we giving away 33 units when we really could have a nice project with less units and still be fair to the applicant? So was there any type of cost analysis or any type of, I'd suggested it before, but I mean, was there anything looked at from that perspective?
So Leo, just to confirm, in my experience, you know, from hundreds of planning boards, it's not our role to compare financials on a application before us.
I agree. I get it, but we're, you know, we have a redevelopment plan that was the subject of several years of public hearings before the governing body and here.
Right.
It's now, it's been adopted, so it's just like any other ordinance to be questioning, hey, when you adopt this ordinance, what went into it? It's adopted, this is a redevelopment plan.
Thank you, so I offered that suggestion before, getting to the point, Jay, and you didn't take that suggestion. That's fine. I mean, what the hell do I know? I'm concerned about the way the buildings are laid out, is that it's going to look like barracks. They did make some modifications to the architectural standard or design, and I appreciate that. But there's some feeling that the market is softening in this area. Ventnor, Margate, Longport, Brigantine, that is there a way to have them phase in the development so that maybe 15, 20 or 10 units are built and that's the market
that's
dictates?
Jim, that's up to the applicant.
I'm asking if there's a way, because the last thing that anybody wants, and I'm sure you want, is to have a project that's half built, abandoned, and it looks like crap in the middle of the city. And I'm asking, is there a way to have them phase in the development so that the market dictates the development? I'm asking, yes, no, I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. Any answer you have for me is fine.
I think it's up to the applicant as well.
So are you concerned at all that this gets all built, 70%, and the market completely softens and they don't sell, and we have the 33-unit project in the middle of the city, in the middle of the commercial district, that's abandoned? There's no concern by anybody on the board?
Honestly, I'm not concerned.
Okay. Anybody else concerned? Or?
Well, first of all, having been in the building business for most of my adult life, they're smart enough to know in a job like this what the market demands are, and also the cost of money and how to do it. And you don't simply just go and ram the job in unless you have the sales to do it. And I think this builder's smart enough to understand that.
There's a lot of projects that have gone belly up.
Well,
would you agree with that?
Everybody goes belly up.
Yeah, so, and that's my concern. I'm just, Jim, tell me no,
I'm not
you don't want to do it.
Issue
just give me an answer. Joe gave me an answer. He's not concerned.
In there.
That's fine.
It's always a concern, but it's up to the applicant. We don't tell a builder how to build the property.
Okay. I just asked if there was a way, because that's my concern. I'm still, I want to clarify, this is going to be a public street now, right? Because the original plan in the redevelopment by Rutella was going to be a private street. That street is now going to be a public right away.
That's correct.
So anybody can park there.
No, there's no parking on that street.
There's no off-street parking there?
Not on the street.
Why?
They're all curb cuts.
They're all curb cuts. Okay. Is there a, they talked about landscaping, is there a detailed landscaping plan? Or is it just, you know, what they want to put in?
There'll be an approved landscape plan.
But is it part of the zoning board, the planning board's condition of a detailed landscape plan?
There will be.
So we know exactly what they're putting in.
There'll be a landscape.
You'll have to revise it based on the submission to the.
Right. There'll be a landscape plan for this site.
But you're not approving that landscape plan? Just have to submit it to be minimal.
The landscape plan will be amended. The landscape plan will be amended, based on tonight.
Does this have it in this development, in this 33 unit? Does this impact our affordable housing requirement at all?
It does not. No.
And I also suggested at a previous meeting and asked the city father and the planning board, if you looked at a revenue allocation district, that is a redevelopment tool, that any additional tax money that comes in as a result of a project can be designated towards that revenue allocation district, that it may be easier for the public to accept if we knew that this additional revenue was going to go to improving the business district. Did a great job with the trees, and that's a start, but I think everybody will agree our business district needs more. But did anybody look at creating a revenue allocation district so we ensure that this additional tax money revenue will go towards the business community? And it may be easier for people to accept it. Okay, we're going to get this density and traffic, but we're going to get this out of it. Does that look at all?
That would be commissioned.
Is this on?
It's on.
Did we look at this at all?
And the answer is that there's been no definitive decision on that subject.
Has it been looked at, explored?
Everything's looked at.
So you have looked at a revenue allocation district?
I don't know specifically how detailed it's been looked at.
We had a discussion with the applicant, and it's not something they were looking to do at this time. The city's not in a position to force them to allocate tax dollars.
It wouldn't be anything for the applicant to do. It would be something for the city to do, to designate this area as a revenue allocation district. And it's not for, I'm not saying it's a good idea. I just think it's worthwhile exploring. And I think the public would be more acceptable if you say, okay, this additional revenue will go towards.
This is not the planning board issue you're talking about here.
I think you can make a recommendation to the governing body. It's a revenue allocation district, similar to a redevelopment district, but.
It is not part of this application.
No, but it could be impact this application.
Tim, I misspoke. I thought you were talking about a wrap bond.
No.
I'm sorry.
No.
I did speak to them about that, and they weren't interested in that.
Yeah.
Which is for utilities. That's why I got confused. I apologize.
Yeah.
We'll take a look at it.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you.
And so again, it's not the planning board. It's the city commission.
Yeah. So I want to thank you for indulging me and letting me go over my 3 minutes and answering my questions. So thank you. And good luck to the applicant. I hope it works out like everybody says.
Tim, you used your 3 minutes very well.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone wish to speak before the public? This time. Yes, sir.
Name and address, please, and I have to swear you in.
Jeff Corson, 1 North New Haven Avenue.
Mr. Corson, please raise your right hand. You swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
Yes, I do.
Okay, thanks.
So I'm glad that I'm here. Was not aware of all the meetings. I got a certified mail by the day.
Could you get closer to the mic?
Sorry, I'm glad to be here.
Lift the mic up, please. Yeah, that's better.
Glad to be here. I got notice of the first meeting, November 12th, on November 12th, 2 hours before the meeting, so couldn't make that. Anyhow, this is, as I've said before at some of these meetings, I'm thrilled to see improvements in our lovely town of Ventnor. This is a huge project, and I think you all can see that. Just overall concerns, I'm right across the street, so the impact to me is probably more than most of you in this room. You know, my first concerns was the scope of this, and I hope the applicant has the funds and experience to make it happen and see it through. How long do you anticipate this project to take to completion? Wow, that's fast. 18 to 24 months. And that's pretty quick. Again, as I said, this project, it's going to change the dynamic of that area dramatically. 34 units now. As we all know, parking in this
33.
Town. Big difference, got it. Parking in this town is not good. We all know that. It's precious. The two commercial parking lots really support the commercial business that may come to the school building. But they take away parking on New Haven, I think 6 spaces on New Haven, and probably the same amount on Troy. So it just gets tighter. And I realize the units have their own parking, but when all their guests show up, where are they going to park? Right? It's just, I don't know if your traffic study, I guess it covers everything. And, you know, according to this, is everything's good, but it's going to be brutal. I don't know if this board has ever considered parking garage nearby, maybe at the old St. James place, someplace where there's some space that can alleviate parking in general, business district, some of guests that might show up for them, for me, and others here. Concerns of the sewer system, will it even handle it, whether it's 34, 35?
Sir, all of these things the city can handle.
Okay.
Well, there should be an explanation. So it's not just a blunt answer like that. So I'll talk into this. Sorry. So our city engineer worked with our sewer and water department, and they actually made some recommendations, I think, earlier this week, Monday or so. And the applicant has agreed to increase the size of the water line. And I saw the notes, but I didn't bring my phone with me. I apologize. Has the notes in it. It increases the water size, the water line main from, I think, there's a 4-inch line running there now. I think it's going to be an 8. Roger, correct me if I'm wrong. And then the sewer line has to be increased as well to handle the influx.
Right. Right.
The sewer system itself, once it gets to Winchester Avenue, there's a 32-inch line, I believe, that runs down Winchester Avenue. That's got plenty of volume. But the lines that run to that are not large enough, so they're going to increase that.
Yeah, we experienced difficulties today. That's why I bring this up. Yeah,
that line is old, so they're going to put a brand new line in from their facility down to Winchester Avenue.
All
right. Both water and sewer.
Is this the final meeting? If everybody speaks their piece and you guys are good with everything and that's it, it's done, here we go.
This is the final meeting, sir.
I figured that. What do I do if I'm affected by stormwater runoff, sewage issues, offensive lighting noise?
Call the city.
Will do. Great. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir. Please come forward, be sworn.
Dan Jacoby, 14 South Wissahickon.
All right, Mr. Jacoby, please raise your right hand. Do you swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Okay, thanks.
So my major concerns with this project is the density, where it's located. I know earlier that you stated that it's 20 units per acre, correct?
No.
How many units are allotted for that lot, specifically to that lot? Because in that discussion, there was conversations about the building in front using some of that space to allocate for the units that are behind it, correct?
No. Roger,
Let me try to clarify. From what I understood, that entire subdivision is part of the redevelopment plan, because the building in front is staying.